sitting in the chair.
I know that the crowd is still trickling in, but that's a perfect time for me to do my introduction. Before I begin, I also want to point your attention to the written paraphernalia that is on the back of the seats. Baruch Hashem, this has been a very successful program, but to Rabbi Kleinman and the Yanni Tefillah Foundation's credit, they're not satisfied with just doing it well. They're always looking for ways to do it better. Therefore, if anyone has comments, positive, constructive criticism, or otherwise, please fill out the forms that are by all of the seats. And on your way out, there are boxes that those can be dropped off in. I can tell you very sincerely, if there are comments that are constructive, they are welcomed and they're open to them. And please, you can either give it to the shul office at any point in the near future, or you can drop it off in the boxes that are near the doors. Baruch Shehiyanu, Kiyamanu Vigiyanu, Lazman Hazeh. We gather tonight to celebrate the Baltimore Community Tefillah Initiative and the completion of almost 3 months of study of the highly regarded work, Praying with Fire. It is truly a privilege to welcome Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky and Rav Mordechai Willig, who honor us by joining in this special gathering and offering us words of Chizuk and his orders. A project of this magnitude is only made possible through the cooperation, hard work, and partnership and generosity of many partners. First, many thanks to the Rabbonim, my Chaverim Chashuvim, of over 20 of our community shuls participated in this initiative. Without their support, and without their leadership, we never would have gotten off the ground. Thank you as well to the numerous volunteers across the community who helped at various steps along the way. Deserving particular mention are Mr. Mayor Kleiner, Mr. Seth Gerstmann, Mrs. Karen Traub, and the Shomri Amuna office staff, who all went out of their way to make this learning initiative a success. I want to thank the volunteers of Chaverim as well, who are out at night helping with the parking. And thank you from the bottom of our hearts to all of the sponsors across the community and all of the shuls for their generosity in subsidizing the cost of the book so that it would be affordable for all members of the community and for anyone who wanted to participate. In particular, a very special thank you to Dr. and Mrs. Michael Ellman, whose initial creative spark and support got the entire program started. Finally, a thank you to Mrs. Karen Traub and Mrs. Sarah Walaski for the initial idea of bringing Rabbi Kleinman to Baltimore back in May. Without you, none of this would have happened either. To introduce our featured speakers and to frame not only tonight's gathering, but perhaps more importantly, the significance of a community undertaking of this magnitude, I want to share a beautiful thought of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zatzal, contained in the Sefer Emes LeYaakov, but one that I first heard on multiple occasions from Rav Willig, and in fact, it's the opening lines of the introduction in Rav Willig's most recent Sefer. Rav Yaakov points out, and is troubled by, the fact that even though the Bnei Yisrael had been traveling for over a year at that point at the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, only then did the Golim, the tribal flag or banner of each respective Shevet, and the formal structure of the encampment where each Shevet was stationed, none of that took place till Iyar of the second year that the Jewish people were in the desert. Why the wait? Why not set up the flags and the camp at the outset of their journey? Based on the famous comments of the Medrash Rabbah, Rav Yaakov explains that the various degolim actually represented the unique personality and mission that each tribe possessed. No banner of any two shvatim was the same, because the talents, inclination, and mission of each tribe was in fact unique. This is not only acceptable, says Rav Yaakov, but this is the way it's supposed to be. But, adds Rav Yaakov, all of this is assuming one necessary condition. There must be a central focus for all of the tribes to look towards. There must be a common anchor that bonds all of the shvatim into a shared whole that is greater than the sum of its parts. And that necessary component is the Mishkan and the manifestation of Hashem's presence that it represented. Before the Mishkan was dedicated, focusing on the uniqueness of the tribes would have just led to, in Rav Yaakov's words, pirud levavos. Not diversity, but disunity and dysfunction. And therefore, it was only in the second year, after Hakamas HaMishkan, that the Degolim were unveiled and the tribes situated, all in their own direction, all equidistant and focused on the Mishkan. In the context of that common bond, the healthy and vibrant diversity of the various Shvatim could then, and only then, be embraced. In our day and age, when we lack the connective mechanism of the Avodas HaKarbonos, one of the main vehicles for our sustained relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is through Tefillah. And even though we no longer merit the Beis HaMikdash, or even the Mishkan, we do have a Mikdash Ma'at. We have our shuls as the place where we go to talk with Hashem and hopefully to nourish our relationship with Him. The community tefillah initiative that we embarked upon hopefully helped each and every one of you and those who participated who are not here tonight reconnect and re-energize your personal koach tefillah. But it's important to realize as well that this initiative wasn't just about the 1,000 plus individuals who bought Svarim in the last 3 months in the community and who were learning praying with fire, but it was consciously, from the outset, structured not as an individual program, but through the shuls and through the Rabbanim to reinforce this message that for all of the individuality, the diversity in the community, and Baruch Hashem, as we see tonight, there is plenty. But that is only healthy and sustainable if at the heart of it all are the Mikdashei Ma'at, the shuls, and the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that they enhance. With the Batei Knesiot, to borrow the Gemara's term, at the center of our community, and most importantly, at the center of our lives, our individual talents and inclinations can be channeled in the right direction and for the benefit of the Tzibur. If you add to that the fact that we have not only many shuls in our community, but different types and different styles of shuls, to have all of the varied shuls coming together, focusing on avoda, zut fila, and what we have, I believe, is accomplished an amazing Kiddush Hashem, a Kiddush Shem Shamayim, channeling our unified diversity in the pursuit of an enhanced and ambitious Avodas Hashem. It's in that spirit that we are honored and humbled by the presence of our special guests. Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky is the longtime Rosh Yeshiva of the Philadelphia Yeshiva and a member of the Moeses Gedolei Yisrael of the Agudas Yisrael. He's also a mentor and manhig to many organizations and mostos around the country and right here in Baltimore. We're incredibly grateful to Rav Kamenetsky for joining us tonight despite his many obligations both inside and out of the yeshiva. It is an incredible zechus for all of us to introduce Harav Shmuel Kamenetsky.
Rabbi, honored guest, Rabbi Willig, Chaveiro Rabbonim, dear friends, so well said by the Rabbi, something that brings us together, that the greatest force in Klal Yisrael is when we are together. Tefillah is something brought in some Siddurim, Shem Aliyah Kodesh, that before you start to daven, so you say, "Ani Kelo Sasmi B'Tirch Klal Yisrael." Tefillah itself was created not just for the individual, created for Klal Yisrael. We are all together, and each tefillah is, and the nusach is a nusach of Rabbim, means many, because the Koyach HaTfilah is together, Klal Yisrael is together. And a person does not just think of himself. He thinks what is good for Klal Yisrael. Unfortunately, these days, we surely have to think about Klal Yisrael. What's going on in the world? In Eretz Yisrael, our brothers and sisters are shivering with fear. Iran is threatening, surrounded by 100 million Arabs. Each one is looking to be Chas V'Shalom. But that's Klal Yisrael. Together, Yes Hashem will be Zeche to Geula. We have to speak about Tefillah. And it says in Chazal, everybody knows that, that Moshe Rabbeinu, when the Rabbeinu Shem approached Moshe Rabbeinu, that he should become the Goel Yisroi, and he did not want. He was Mesaber the whole week. And the question is, when the Rabbeinu Shem asked Moshe Rabbeinu to be the Goel Yisroi, "Im einato goelom enacha goelom," you are the ones to take up even from Israel. From Messiah. What happened? The Ramban explains, and he says as follows. Moshe Rabbeinu thought, by me going to Pabai, who was the greatest king in the world at that time, Chvat Peh, a stutter, that's improper. And the Rabbeinu Shem could cure him, there's no question about that. So he thought, Moshe Rabbeinu thought, since the Rabbeinu Shem did not cure him, therefore it's a suggestion, but he has a right to decline. That's what Ramban says. And that's why he's Mesaret. And he finished the Maimah. Why did the Rabbeinu Shem not cure him? We need Moshe Rabbeinu to be the Goel Yisroel. He's supposed to come to redeem Klal Yisroel from Egypt. Why did Rabbeinu Shem cure him? Says Ramban, because he did not, was not mispalam. Without tefillah, you don't get anything. That was the cause. And Moshe Rabbeinu had to be mispalam. The Ramban says something very interesting also. Moshe Rabbeinu his daughter, why didn't, wasn't his father before to the Rav Shlom? Cure me, Rav Shlom, cure me. Says the Ramban, how did he become a stutterer? It says in Chazal that he went for the crown of Pavai, and the Chartume Mitzrayim said, this lad is not simple. He's going for your crown. Let's test him. And they tested him with gold and coal, and he was going for the gold, and Amalek pushed his hand to the coal, and he got burnt, and then he put to his mouth, that's how he became a stutterer. Says the Ramban, it's such a miracle that happened to him. He never wanted to forget this miracle. And that's why he was not misfollowed before. He wanted to live with this miracle that he went through. And he wanted to remain a stutterer. But here he thought to take the Jews out of Mitzrayim. He should cure him, the Banishim should cure him. But the answer is that without tefillah, you don't get anything. We see the koyach tefillah. He's so much given over in our hands. We have to pray. Without, the Rav Shlom knows what we need. There's no question. Rav Shlom knew that Moshe Rabbeinu is thinking that way. So why didn't he cure him? Without tefillah, you don't get anything. And we see when the creation itself, everything was ready, the order mind, there's still a human being is not there to be misfollowed. Everything is ready to grow. The entire world, creation of the world, but it cannot grow until someone is misfollowed. That is the koyach tefillah. That is in our power to create something, to do something. It's only through tefillah. We see also when Yaakov Avinu reprimanded Rachel Imenu, and she said, "You can't live like that." And Vayichat, Yaakov got angry and said, "Asachas alikimani? Am I instead of relying on me? I can't do it. You have to be misfollowed." And Chazal have Taina Yaakov Avinu. Bechikach oinen samuka is someone is in pain. That's not how you express yourself. You should be calmer. Tell her, Rachel, don't be misfollowed. But that was what was missing. And when he says in the next pasuk, Vayischer Elokim, he remembered, what did he remember? He remembered that what Rachel Imenu gave up for Leah. That's what he remembered. And it says in the Midrashim that Laosid Lovoi, nothing will help. They always will not help, only Rachel Imenu, what she gave. She gave something of herself. Something that belonged to her, and she gave it up. That's a very difficult thing, to give up something that you have. And we just learned in the Parshas before that when a person, when he goes to the army and the Kohelet goes out, he has a new house, he has a new wife, he has a new kerem, he can go home. He can go home. That's what he told him. So Rashi says, person that goes in the army, the Rambam says he's Mekadosh Hashem, he gives up his life and is ready to give his life. That's a war. Yet, Rashi says, he'll have a Masnefesh. Well, have a Masnefesh. Somebody else will have it. When somebody else, that you're not ready to give up yet. You're ready to do anything, give your life up. But what you have to give up to somebody else, that is a tremendous nisoyon. And that's what it says. That's the maile of Rachel Imenu, what she gave up. Yet it says, in Talmud it says, Vayischer Vetzoli, she had to be misfollowed. Because the whole yesod was that without tefillah you can't get anything. That's the yesod. There we see the Chagav, that something that a person is ready to give, but not to give to somebody else. We see in Chazal, when the Sultan came to Avraham Avinu, and he told him, you're an old man, what are you going to be, Shecht your son? What is Yitzchak? What will be? What will be with you? Avraham Avinu said, he told Yitzchak. He went to Yitzchak, and he said, what will be with your father? You're the only son, what's going to be? He said, Avraham Avinu. Tzivah Hashem. But when he said, he told them, what will be with your suits? Who will get your suits? Yishmael will get your suits. And Chazal tell us, that's when he said, Obi, Obi. That's when he called, Father, Father, what's going to be? He was ready to give him life, give his life away. But when you're here to give it to somebody else, that's not a pleasant, matzona that he's ready to give up. And that's what Rashi says over there, Mnei Agmas Nefesh, Agmas Nefesh, to give up something of yourself. Actually, in Tefillah, when we are mispallel, not just for ourselves. So that Tefillah is not designated just for ourselves. It's designated to Klal Yisrael. I'm interested in Klal Yisrael. And all the Tefillahs are created in that. Boruch Aleinu, Rachem Aleinu, Hashiveinu. All the Brochas are created that it's not just your individual. Tefillahs are something that binds us together, unites us together. It says in Chazal, "Voischana al Hashem," the Parsha Voischana, that Parsha says, "Tzadikim, even they could ask b'shusam, and I say to you, Shalom, they ask b'teras matana. That's it." They could be told on the Maisam Tovim and the Meforshim or Meparesh that what it means that you really could, what's so terrible if you ask for your Maisam Tovim? The Kli Yoko says that a person cannot be Yaisim. The Chiyuvim that a person has, obligations they had to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, is not enough. Whatever you do is not enough. Rabbi Shem doesn't owe anybody. Rabbi Shem doesn't remain a Baal Chayim. But Rabbi Shem doesn't owe anybody. He doesn't owe anybody. Because whatever we do, we have to think that the matanas that Rabbi Shem gave us are always greater than we anticipate, than we feel. And we have to realize the riches of every individual. We make a bracha in the morning. Birds understand also night and day. What were you saying? We thank the Rabbeinu Shalom for every little bit that we give. The Rabbeinu Shalom gives us mind to understand. The Rabbeinu Shalom gives us Atachayin and Lodom Das as the first bracha. Atachayin Lodom Das after the Sholesh. Atachayin Lodom Das, the person has a little bit of mind. What greater matona that a person has from the Rabbeinu Shalom to have his mind? To think, to see a world of beauty, to appreciate a world of beauty. It's only because you have a mind to think about it. So actually, what we have, so the question is, so this is really the question. Still the ask, what did I ask? Matana, the one matana. And it's still difficult to understand. He says, if the Yoko says, that we don't want to utilize whatever we deserve. Rabbanishim gives us matanas. So we want matanas. But still difficult to understand. What's so terrible? We do a good thing, a good deed, and we want schar for that. And I think the pshat is as follows. It says in Chazal that the Rabbanu Shalom, when he showed Moshe Rabbeinu, Elomais, he told them, what are these matanas from? Whole cases of chasadim. So these are for Lomdei Torah, these are for Ben Ledani, these are for this, and these are for that. Then he saw a world of matanas unlimited. And he asked Rabbeinu Shalom, what are these for? And the Rabbeinu Shalom said, that these are not just midas achesed, midas matonim. The Rabbeinu Shalom wants to give matonim. So we don't understand who deserves matonim and doesn't deserve matonim. We can't understand it. It's above our understanding. But this matonim, The Rabbanim Shalom give matonos. This is the matona, and this is what Rashi says. They could ask for ma'isim tovim, and they ask, they get more than ma'isim tovim, but they want hakemat haschina. They want for those matonos. Matonos that the Rabbanim Shalom gives us, and this is something that we allow to be mispalo from the Rabbanim Shalom. He should give us matonos, even though we don't deserve. And we are not toyed by that. Still, there is a world of matones that Ben Shalom can give us. Of course, Klal Yisroel for sure have such a schus. That Klal Yisroel as a clown altogether have such a schus that we could ask the Ben Shalom for matones. And this is something that we have to think. Tefillah itself, when we come to Bimis Balam, and we come to the Rabbeinu Shalom and we ask for something. There's a Gemara that's a machlekes in the Gemara. It says by the Chub Beis Hamikdash, they burn the Beis Hamikdash, they call Bayis Godel, it says. Bayis Godel, they also burn Bayis Godel. And there's a machlekes in the Gemara. What it means, Bayis Godel? A big Bayis. What is the big Bayis? Machlekes Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shua ben Levi, means Bayis Godel. Bayis Shemegadlen by Teiro, or the Bayis Shemegadlen by Tchila. Maybe it's a Bayis Shemegadlen by Teiro. I just got to say, the Machlekes Nigamon. And it's very difficult to understand. How could it be the greatest thing in Klal Yisrael is Teiro? The Gemara says in one place that Oizm Chai Oilam, Oizm Chai Yishor, you live something that's forever. Torah. And you go to daven, you go to pray, that's only Chai and Shor. So what is Pshat in the Gemara? Yishayla is asked, but it's of Sefer and Yitzhuvas. And he's Mechadosh HaChilush. It's a Chilush that everybody should learn and understand it. He says as follows. In order to be Zeche, to Torah, you also have to have tefillah. There's nothing in the world that a person possesses or he gets without tefillah. So therefore, he says, Pshat Megemot, how could it be that Bayis Godem Bayis Shemegadlin Boy tefillah? Because he says, because in order to be Zeche to Teira, you also need Brochas and tefillah. Because tefillah, you have to be Mispal. Because Teira, even you can't get without being misfollowed by the Bible. That's what the Sub-Sefer says. But perhaps a little bit more. Bayis Shemegadlin Boy, Torah actually is not limited to a place. Torah was given in the Midbar. Tfilo Pakeh, the Gemara says, Tfilo Akadeya Mokom Nitfilosei. Akadeya Mokom Nitfilosei, Elokei Avrom Be'ezrei. Tefillah needs kriyas mokay, needs a specific place. And therefore it's good to daven in the same community where you always daven. So no will be chayshish, you're not here today. What are you not here today? Must be something. No, you're not here today. It's a good one. Ah, you want another shul. You want to hear a drosha from another rabbi. You want, no, it says it's in the kaveya mokay nitfilosay. It means in that shul. So since tefillah needs a kriya smokoim, that's why it's a bayis godel. We see that tefillah is such a inyan that it's kaveh mokom mitfilosoi. You have to be part of the sibul, part of the cloud, part of the community. That's what the tefillah is. Tefillah is something that kaveh mokom mitfilosoi. This is something to learn, and this is something to treasure for us. Therefore, it's really a pleasure when all communities come together. That's the real tefillah, the real mokum that you could speak about tefillah, uniting Klal Yisroel. That's unites Klal Yisroel. And therefore, it is really a pleasure to come and see Kenan Hove. It's true. Rabbi Kleiman deserves a lot of credit. But the people that worked here to unite this community, it's a special credit for them. They deserve a lot of credit. And Besem, all the people that came together, they should be gebench in the Ben Israel. Coming together to be mechazek b'in atfila. And in tefila we will be zeichem mitzvashem to geulas and yeshuas. I just want to share one thought with you. It says a chazal. He said that if he were by Bach Sinai, we'd be mispallel for 2 mouths. One mouth for Teire, and one mouth for not Chas V'Shalom for Dvarim Pleilim, it's Chas V'Shalom for Lashon Hara. Well, you need something. Please pass me the salt. You have to speak this. Not Teire also. That's what he was also. Then he said, we cease what we do with one mouth. What would we do with 2 mouths? That's what it says in Yerushalmi. Says the Rabbeinu Yehuda. He says, we see in this Chazal that Chazal looked at a Jewish mouth, says, looked at like a klishores. It's really Kodesh, because you have to learn Torah, you have to use it for tefillah, you have to use it for Torah. Except, you have no other breiras, you have to use other things also. But he says, we have to look at a Jewish mouth. It's a klishores, he says. Klishores means a vessel from the base of Mikdash. That's the Kedusha. In other words, a mouth is designated for Kedusha. That's what a Jewish mouth is. And therefore, we can understand very well a mouth that's zohir when we speak, the way we speak. If we speak chas v'sholem, not properly, can we expect the same klishores should come to the Rabbeinu Shlom and ask the Rabbeinu Shlom, Hashiveinu Avinu Serosecho, help us do tshuva. It's the mouth that has to be Kodesh. Then klishores itself, that's what it is, a klishores. And this is my bracha to you. We should use our koiches that we have. Avodas HaTfilah, but this. Avodas HaTfilah is not enough. Behiru. Even Torah, some hold that if you can say it out, you're supposed to say it out. The Balatanya holds like that. Or Hashulchan holds like that. That you must say it out. So we should utilize our koiches with Kedusha v'Tara, and then we'll be zeche mitzvah that our tefillos will be niskabel v'zeche Mashiach Tzidkenu v'kol domain.
Take this opportunity to welcome via the TCN network and to let everyone here know that we're not alone. We welcome those who are watching the events live in Boca Raton, Florida, Brookline, Massachusetts, Hollywood, Florida, Lawrence, New York, Los Angeles, California, Miami Beach, Florida, Northeast Philadelphia, Paramus, New Jersey, Riverdale, New York, and Washington Heights, New York. Welcome. This is Baltimore. Rav Mordechai Willig is a Rosh Yeshiva and Rosh Kola La Yeshiva Sir Ben Yitzchak Elchanan, as well as a Rav of the Young Israel of Riverdale. He's also the Skan Av Bezdin, the Bezdin of America, a leading posek whose rulings and guidance are sought out by laymen, and I can attest in particular by Rabbanim throughout the country. It is a special schus to introduce my Rebbe, Rav Mordechai Willig.
Peshus Arab, Peshus Rosh Yeshiva, Kleiman, distinguished Rabbanim, ladies and gentlemen. This kinus celebrates a month-long effort to study in depth a book called Praying with Fire. A catchy title, which we can all figure out is a play on words from an American expression, playing with fire. That is my theme for this evening. What is fire? Fire is essential for our very existence. The sun, great ball of fire. Without the sun, the entire world would return to oblivion instantaneously. More specifically, we use fire to heat, to warm, to illuminate, to transport ourselves. We cannot do without fire. At the same time, someone who plays with fire is doing something reckless, potentially dangerous. The word fire strikes terror into the heart of one who hears it. A fire is breaking out, threatening to destroy homes, chalila, to take lives. So fire is at one at the same time indispensable, critical to keep the world going and our own private lives going, at the same time so dangerous. We are 2 weeks before Rosh Hashanah. And as we complete Elul, the month of Tshuva, I would like to devote my remarks this evening to describing both Tshuva and Tefillah as playing with fire. And I'd like to make 3 comparisons between these 2 fundamental mitzvos. The first begins with the Meshech Chochmah, the next week's parasha, Parashas Nitzavim. Meshech Chochmah points out that a few weeks ago in Parashas Re'eh, we're given a choice of bracha and klala, of blessing and curse. Next Shabbos, in Parashas Nitzavim, the choice becomes much more frightening. We are taught, we have Chaim and Tov on the one hand, and Mavis and Ra on the other. Not merely curse, but actual death. And the question is raised, what happened? Why is the negative alternative so much worse in Parshas Nitzavim? Answers the Meshech Chochmah as follows. In Parshas Re'eh, we have not yet encountered the Parsha of Tshuva, which is found at the beginning of the middle of Nitzavim. As such, if a person sins, there's punishment for the sin, but the Ribbono Shel Olam knows that to err is human. We all have momentary lapses. And therefore the negative alternative, which is bad enough, is klala, but not worse than that. However, the subsequent pasuk at the end of Nitzavim follows immediately on the heels of the mitzvah of teshuva. If an individual is presented with the gift of this mitzvah of tshuva, of repentance, which can wipe our slate clean, which means that if we sinned and we repent with all the ingredients of tshuva, all of our sins are removed, and yet we foolishly fail to take advantage of this incredible divine gift and opportunity, we will then chalila be punished not only for the original aveira, the original sinful behavior, but chalila for the failure to take advantage of the mitzvah of tshuva. And therefore our punishment goes from klala chalila to mamas. What does that mean? We view tshuva as a gift, but tshuva is really a two-edged sword. It can work to our benefit, that we take advantage. But the fact that it's there, and we do not take advantage, is held against us so much, that from klala it can go to mamas. So says the Meshech Chochmah in Parshas Nitzavah. The same, I believe, is true with respect to tefillah. Imagine a world without tefillah. We cannot communicate with Hashem. It would be a sad world. But, if so, no one can be punished for not beseeching God's help. However, now that the mitzvah tefillah is given to us, this incredible opportunity to communicate with Hashem Yisbarach, if we chalila we don't take advantage of that opportunity, it can be held against us. This, in the words of the Meshech Chochmah, in the context of tshuva, is a musar nora. It's an awesome rebuke for those who don't fulfill the mitzvah of tshuva properly. I believe it's equally awesome for those who don't fulfill the mitzvah of tefillah properly. Indeed, playing with fire. Tshuva and tefillah like fire can accomplish so many great things. They're critical, they're indispensable. But at the same time, If not performed properly, it could have a damaging influence similar to that of an uncontrolled fire. This is comparison number one between teshuva and tefillah based on the Meshech Chochmah. Comparison number two is an insight that I heard from my Rebbe, Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, Zichrono Livracha, which is found in the Sefer Ala Teshuva. And there, the question is raised about these two mitzvahs. What is the essence of the mitzvah? We find contradictions in both between the formulation of the Rambam in his introductory passage, when he defines the mitzvah and counts it, and the exposition of the Rambam in his opening halacha, Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, of Hilchos Teshuva and Hilchos Tefillah, respectively. The Rebbe explained that in both cases, the definition of the mitzvah is in the heart. As the Rambam puts it, loshuv, to repent, and lavod b'lev, to serve God with one's heart. As a practical matter, writes the Rambam in the opening halacha, the mitzvah is to say vidui, to confess, and the mitzvah is to be mispalel, to pray with our mouths, not really in our hearts. What do we see? That a physical manifestation, such as speech, which is not accompanied by the requisite worship of the heart is not effective. It's true in both contexts. Not only is it ineffective, but it's even sinful. We're preparing for the Yom HaNoraim when we say Al Cheshev Atonu Lepanecha Bevidui Peh. What is the sin of confession? The Mefarshim explain that an insincere confession, a person simply pays lip service to the matzah and bangs his chest, but does not really confess, does not really admit in his heart that he did something wrong. And not only is it ineffective, it's even sinful. requiring a separate al-chet for that itself. And in this case, therefore, again, it can be held against him. Not just as we said earlier, not doing tshuva at all is held against you. But an insincere, outward, perfunctory tshuva without sincerity can also be held against you. And the same is true of tefillah. Not only is the failure to pray held against an individual now that the opportunity is there, but insincere tefillah, where words are mouthed, but there's no avodah shebelev, is A, ineffective, and it's B, chalila, sinful. When we were young, we were taught that tefillah b'li kavana is kaguf b'li neshama. Prayer without devotion is like a body without a soul. It's a corpse, rachmana litzlan. Has no real meaning. Rav Chaim of Brisk, on the opening page of his Sefer on the Rambam, in Ilchus Tefillah, tells us that if an individual is standing in Shemoneh Esrei, which is the highlight of Tefillah, but his mind is distracted, and he doesn't realize that he's Omed Bifnei HaMelech, that he's standing in the presence of the King of Hashem, it's not, in his words, even a ma'aseh tefillah. It's nothing. It's nothing meaningful. It's what he calls mis'atek. It's just doing something without thought. It's nothing. It has no validity whatsoever. It's not a tefillah at all. It's true. But looks in the glosses of the Chazon Ish on that Rambam is a little bit of a more charitable view. He feels that if a person standing Shemoneh Esrei somewhere deep in the recesses of his heart, he somehow intuits that he's Bifnei HaMelech, even if his mind is thinking about his business or his other preoccupations. And indeed, if one looks in the Sefer HaChinuch and Parshas Ekev, one sees that perhaps even this, what we would consider minimalistic level of Omer Bifnei HaMelech, may only be a requirement of the first Brach of Shemoneh Esrei. But nonetheless, Reb Chaim's position is a very acceptable one in halacha. The Mishnah Berurah sounds that way. And in any event, a person who is standing Shemoneh Esrei and is not focused on the fact that he's standing before God, we intuit this is not a very meaningful tefillah. Yes. Yes. We are playing with fire. Sukkim tell us that an individual who plays lip service to Hashem but doesn't really mean it is not looked upon kindly by the Ribbono Shel Olam. B'fiv u'b'svasav kibduni, they may pay lip service to me, they seem to honor me with their mouths and with their lips. V'libo rochok mimeni, the hearts are far from me. This is not a compliment. And I must make mention, if only briefly, if chas v'sholom, people come to a shul, and aside from their davening in shul, they're talking devarim b'talim in the middle of davening, chalila v'chalila, whether it be at a time when you're not allowed to speak anything, even at a time which is, maybe you're allowed to say divrei Torah, but they're talking devarim b'talim in the middle of the davening, chalila v'chalila. Can you imagine? They're playing the tape recording of your davening, and the million Ashra Hashem Yisrael, it's only Ashra, I have a lot of talk, you know. And then they're saying, you know, how are you doing, and how's your business, and how's your family, and what is this? About this, the Mishnah Berurah and others write, Chalila, to say the thing, but that's what they write. A person comes to shul and is completely sidetracked here and there by external conversations. Me, Bikesh, Zos, Mietchem, Ramos, Chatzeroi. As the Navi Yeshayah chastises us, who asked from you to come and trample on my courtyards, to misuse and abuse the privilege of coming together to a mikdash or be a mikdash ma'at, and involve yourself in idle chatter, rachmad al-tzlan, bismana tefillah? Yes, playing with fire. My third and final point in this comparison. When should we do tshuva? And when should we daven? Our rabbis have taught us, shuv yom echad lefnei misasa. Repent one day before your death. Of course, no one knows when that's going to be, or almost no one knows. So what should we do? So the pasuk tells us in Koheles, b'chol eis yihyu begadecha levanim. Your clothes should be white all the time. A person must always be prepared, because one never knows what day may be his last. We should always do tshuva. What about tefillah? With respect to tefillah on a Torah level, the Rambam says that one is required to daven every day. The Ramban says no. There is no mitzvah to daven on a daily basis. However, he concedes that there is a mitzvah to daven be'es tzara, in a time of crisis. My Rebbe Zichrono Levracha once suggested that perhaps, in principle, the Rambam agrees with the Ramban. The obligation of tefillah is limited to a time of crisis. However, he feels that every single day is a time of crisis. As every single day is Yom Echad Lefnei Misascha and B'chol Eis Yehu B'Gadecha Levanim. You have to do tshuva every day because it's a time of crisis, maybe your last day. So too my Rebbe suggested with respect to tefillah, every single day is a time of crisis. The truth is, we only need to look around us to see how this is carried out in real life. Many individuals in this room undoubtedly have their own personal crises, and if they have their, thank God, don't have their own, they know of others who have personal crises, whether they be sickness in the family, chalila b'chas, whether it be people leaving the derech, people needing shiduchim, people needing parnasa, on people's minds now a lot. And what about Klal Yisrael? As we heard from the Rosh Hashiva Shalita, the terrible fear, especially in Eretz Yisrael, where our enemies are trying to kill us on a daily basis, and only HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saving us. And the Golos HaShechina, the ultimate crisis. We have no Beis HaMikdash. So indeed, every day we think about it is a Nes Tzara. Now, one more American expression, aside from playing with fire. And that is, there is no atheist in a foxhole. If someone is hiding from enemy fire, guns are blazing, and any second they'd be his last, because one never knows where the next bullet or bomb will strike. We have been taught by individuals far from the Torah community. There's no atheist in a foxhole, a person who has never really thought about God, somehow summons up this intuitive closeness to the Ribbono Shel Olam when his life is on the line. And I believe this can be explained by yet another pasuk in Koheles, which teaches that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also as a Adam Yashar. Kaviyochel Hashem created us straight, and the straight path is to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world and that our lives are in His hands. Beheima Bikshu Chishbonos Rabim. You have all kinds of distractions and cheshbonos and calculations which take us away from this core belief which is in our very essence. But when we're in a foxhole and all of a sudden all of our veneer is stripped away, we go back to our core, the truth comes out, the essence comes out. Similarly, Shuv Yomecha Shnei Misasa. A person knows he has one day to live. The doctor tells him. We see so often his core comes out. He may have been estranged from God and religion for decades. Bring me a rabbi. I want to confess. I want to somehow commune. For us, this is praying with fire, with the special intensity of a crisis. Each and every one of us, if we're able to reach this crescendo in Yom HaNoraim, what to be in Rosh Hashanah, Maaseres Yemei Teshuva, Yom Kippur, and maybe for some of us only at Ne'ilah, where the gates are about to close, this is our last chance. We know we're now going to have the final decision, the chasima, on mi yichya, mi amos, who will live and who will die. This is the last day, the last hour. Many of us are able to rise to that level of praying with fire, to cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with hot tears, because we know what's on the line. There's no need for us to wait, chalila, till the day before death. The day of the decision on life and death is coming quickly. Rosh Hashanah is in 2 weeks, and Kippur another week. And yes, in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur we learn that a tefillah with fire, praying with fire with more intensity, is more effective. On the first day Rosh Hashanah we read, Ki shama Elokim el kol hanar, that the Rabbonu Shlom will listen to the prayer of the Nar of Yishmael, says Rashi. Only his prayer, not the prayer of others. But though others may also say a Mishaberach, L'cholim, but Yishmael knows he's about to die. There's no more intensive prayer than someone who's about to die. This is the Yom Echad Lifnei Misascha. And it was only his prayer which is answered. So on Rosh Hashanah we're reminded of this. What about Yom Kippur? This remarkable Gemara in Yuma Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis, that the Kohen Gadol, as soon as he leaves the Kodesh HaKadoshim, prays a Tefillah Katsara. A short prayer, not a time for lengthy prayers. A few short things. And one of them, almost incredibly, is he asked the Kodesh Baruch Hu at that time, Shaloti Kones Lefanecha Tefillas Ovrei Derochim. All of Klal Yisrael needs rain. In agricultural society, even to this day in Eretz Yisrael, they're in desperate need of rain. No rain, no crops, no food, no life. And therefore the vast majority of Klal Yisrael is praying for rain, as do we, in the winter season. The same Talamot HaLevracha. So you can imagine, you have multitudes praying for rain. At the same time, on any given day, there can be some Ovrei Derochim, men and women who are traveling the roads, especially in those days when they travel in wagons, and if it rains on your wagon with your little children, it's not pleasant. So he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, not today. Not today. Only one problem. Every day there's someone on the road saying not today. So the Kohen Gadol has to make a special tefillah, deep in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that these tefillahs should not be accepted. Ask the Balei Musa, why in heaven's name should they be accepted? It's a minority, a small minority. The majority need the water for their crops, for their fields, for their farms. And they explain. And when the farmer says, V'sein talamot l'vracha, he doesn't mean this second. He wants that it should be a rainy season. He lacks some of the intensity. But when someone's on the road, and he sees the cloud gathering, and he looks at his wife and his children, and they're going to get drenched, they're going to get soaked, and they're going to get sick, chalila, Rebbeinu shel Olam, not today! His tefillah is more intense, and has a greater chance of being answered. He needs a Kohen Gadol, a Yom Kippur, leaving the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and all the Kedushas, to counteract that tefillah. So both in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we are reminded that praying with fire is a totally different kind of prayer. a much more effective one. To summarize, we have to pray with fire and not play with fire. Because with respect to prayer and with respect to tshuva, three comparisons. Number one, if we don't do it in a positive sense, it is held against us. The Musar Nora of the Meshech Chochma, we can be punished for not doing tshuva more than for the original Aveira. We can be punished, Chalila, for not davening once the opportunity is given to us, than if we would not have any mitzvah of tefillah whatsoever. Number two, both have an avodah shebelev component and a speaking component. And one cannot be meaningful without the other. Just as our tshuva is meaningless, if we just bang our chet, so to our tefillah is meaningless if we don't pray with fire, with intensity, with kavana. And number three, tshuva and tefillah exist primarily be'eis tzara. And the lesson for us is twofold. Number one, when there is an eis tzara, we must perform these mitzvahs of tshuva and tefillah. It's coming up now in the Yom HaNaroim, the Yom HaDin of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Lesson number one. And lesson number two, v'choleis yu begadecha levanim. According to the Rambam, the mitzvah of tefillah is v'chol yom. And the explanation is that ultimately, if you think about it deeply enough, every day is either actually or potentially a time of sorrow. Let us hope and pray. Pray with fire. As we say in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Tshuva, tefillah, tzedakah, mavirin esro ha'gzeira. And by praying and doing tshuva with fire, we should all be zocha to aksiva v'chasim atova and ashnas chayim v'shalom. Amen v'yomim.
Our final speaker of the evening, it's a pleasure to introduce my friend, Rabbi Heshy Kleinman. Rabbi Kleinman is a remarkable and tireless champion of the cause of tefillah. Filled with a boundless energy and a love for all of Klal Yisrael, he is on a mission to enhance the davening of all Jews. His wisdom and wit have led not only to the success, the wild and international success of his book, Praying with Fire, but he's also become a much sought-after speaker as well. It is a special covet to introduce my friend and the author now of Praying with Fire, Volume 1 and 2, Rabbi Heshy Kleinman.
You'll find it. Rishus, Rosh Yeshiva, Choshev Rabbanim, the Tzibur. I'm overwhelmed and gratified that everybody turned out this evening. Tremendous Kiddush Hashem. Just briefly, you know, a little over 2 years ago, I was invited to speak here in Baltimore on a Shabbos. Rabbi Berger's shul. Baruch Hashem, it was a wonderful opportunity to daven in a beautiful minyan, and to meet so many people who have a desire to grow in their Avodas Hashem. And I remember traveling to the shul, I was driving through Baltimore and I was surprised by how many shuls they have. Ironically, as I passed Shomrei Emunah, I looked at this huge building and I thought to myself, wouldn't it be great if all the shuls in Baltimore would be mechazik and tefillah one day? Wouldn't it be great? Would you have a tremendous Kiddush Hashem? Help bring Yeshua to Klal Yisrael. Take a look. If this doesn't prove the Koyach HaTfila, then nothing does. Baruch Hashem, over 2 years later, that dream became a reality. With the vision and determination of many people, too numerous to mention, led by Rabbi David Gottlieb, the Rav of Shomrei Emunah, and Meir Kleiner, the Baltimore community, the whole community, had been lechazik in tefillah with a wonderful sense of achdus. Just as an aside, when we daven, we show our hakaras hatov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I would be remiss if I didn't show my hakaras hatov. There are many who I owe thanks, but there are two people, and I think the whole community knows, that they are really the ones that led this whole effort. And therefore, I'd like to recognize first this is to my friend Rabbi David Gottlieb. Let me just read it, present it to Rabbi David Gottlieb, Rabbi of Congregation Shomrei Emunah, in recognition of your valiant efforts for mobilizing the Baltimore Tefillah community-wide, the Baltimore community-wide Tefillah initiative. Your brilliant leadership enabled thousands to greatly elevate their avodas Hashem. May Hashem bestow His blessings upon you and your family. And of course, Meir Kleiner, he's probably running around doing chesed somewhere. This too is presented to Meir. Come on.
Thank you very much.
Now, before Yom Kippur, I'll ask Mechila now for embarrassing this too, presented to Meir Kleiner in recognition of your valiant efforts for mobilizing the Baltimore community-wide field initiative. Your brilliant leadership enabled thousands to greatly elevate their avodas Hashem. May Hashem bestow His blessings upon you and your family. You know, when I think about what this great community has accomplished, I'm reminded of a well-known story that occurred many years ago. It was near the end of the Chofetz Chaim's life in 1932, and he was heartbroken over the terrible plight of the Jews in Russia. And when Shabbos, with his students and his family gathered around him, the Chofetz Chaim began to speak. And he said, there is only one real hope. Mashiach, the Geula, must come soon. It must happen sooner or later. But it is up to us to hasten its arrival. Chofetz Chaim continued. There's no time for silence. Why don't we cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help us? It is our duty to arouse the people to cry out and to daven, to pray for the final redemption. And he then softly announced that he would undertake a long journey to go to Vilna to discuss with Rav Chaim Eiser how to stir the people into action. Feeble that the Chofetz Chaim was, he insisted to his family that he must even risk his life to go. And in explanation, the Chofetz Chaim related the following story about the Beis Halevi. It seems the Beis Halevi was invited by the Jews of Bris to become their Rav. And when he steadfastly refused, they pleaded. They said, Rebbe, 25,000 Jews are waiting for you. How can you disappoint them? Beis Halevi had no choice to accept. His love for Klal Yisrael would not permit him to refuse the earnest pleas of 25,000 Jews. Chofetz Chaim continued, surely HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not disappoint the millions of Jews who would daven for the coming of Mashiach of the Geula. See, to the Chofetz Chaim, the power of tefillah, a prayer, was as real as the power of an army. The Chofetz Chaim knew that if we, the troops, would rally our strength and take up our arms, B'charvi u'b'kashti, power of tefillah, then there would be hope. And the tide of the battle could be reversed. Think about it. The Chofetz Chaim considered risking his life to discuss with Rav Chaim Eiser how to stir the people into action to daven. Chofetz Chaim did not meet the people of Baltimore. Hundreds, thousands, whatever the number was, on their own, led by the Rabbanim, took it upon themselves to elevate themselves, to become inspired, and to use the Kriya HaTefillah for Klal Yisrael. You know, we're now at a very important time of the year. Rav Itzel Petterberger, one of the greatest Talmidim of Yisrael Salanta, he had a very interesting practice during the days of Slichus, which begin Be'ez Hashem this Motzei Shabbos. It seemed that he would attend the session of a court case being tried in the city. And he said he wanted to see firsthand how people would plead for mercy before the human judges. He wanted to see the reaction to those being sentenced by the court, so he can feel what it's like to come before the heavenly court during Rosh Hashanah, the Yimei HaDin. He wanted to observe how people feared the judgment of human beings, and he hoped to better contemplate the depths of the judgment that would take place Be'ezus Hashem and Rosh Hashanah. You know, it must have been in those days. Maybe people had more time, I don't know. Today, who has time to go down to the courts? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu did us a tremendous favor. Just yesterday, the United States financial system was shaken to its core. That's not what I mean by the favor. Now, at this time of year, We see the incredible fall from grace of a 94-year-old Merrill Lynch, whose corporate logo, which is the bull, long symbolized the fundamental optimism of Wall Street. Merrill was a kind of a bedrock institution whose stability and longevity was taken for granted by everyone. And even in these highly erratic times, nobody thought that Merrill would be vulnerable. This on the heels of the collapse of Bear Stearns. Past March, Bear Stearns, which was worth billions of dollars, literally over a weekend, its valuation plummeted by billions. And all this on top of the collapse of mortgage companies, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And what about AIG, the largest insurance company?
This is just what happened yesterday and the last couple of months. The truth is, we all know that we live in very dangerous times. Lives are not tranquil. Families suffer their private hardships, devastating illnesses, unyielding financial pressures, confused and alienated children, difficulty with shidduchim or childlessness. What about Eretz Yisrael? And the question, why? Why did all these heartache present itself? Now, I don't know the answer, but I'd like to give over briefly what I heard from Ramat Yisrael Solomon, the Mashkiach of Lakewood. And the Mashkiach said as follows. The Mashkiach said that these hardships are to bring us to reach up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with higher levels of tefillah, and to reach out to our fellow Jews with higher levels of compassion. And you want to know something? It's the combination of Achdus and Tefillah that will bring the Geula B'Karayim. We know that. The Gemara tells us that the second base of Middash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. The first base of Middash was destroyed because of the Gimel Averis. And the obvious question is, the Gimel Averis, Hamurais, and yet the base of Middash, the second one, was built relatively shortly thereafter. Shinas Chinam. It's not a good thing. It's bad. It's chomor. But it's not the Gimel Averis. And yet we still remain in the midst of the Golos, waiting for the Geula. And the obvious question is, the Maral asks, for Gimel Averis in 70 years, and for Sinas Chinam, it's thousands. So to address the disparity, the Maral explains that during the first Beis HaMikdash period, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence was evident. His management of the world was never in doubt. Life in the Beis HaMikdash was full of daily nisim that emanated from a readily discernible divine presence from the Shekhinah. In the era of the first Beis HaMikdash, the world achieved a near-perfect state in which all nations recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So they did the Gimel Averis. They were nanash, they were punished. The punishment lasted 70 years. But you see, the second Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash never achieved this awesome spiritual state. The divine presence and the protection and the nisim did not exist in the same way that it existed in the first Mikdash. So why was the second Mikdash built? And what enabled it to remain? Kolzman, there was Achdus. It was unity. Jews were together. But now that the Shin is Chinam, it's not pshat, that there's an Oidish. But the reason for the existence is not present. Achdus and the recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence, those are the keys to bringing the Geula. Our tefillahs are the key to the fulfillment of our longings. Our Achdus is the key to unlocking the Golus that we're in, the bitter Golus. This is supposed to be closing remarks. To me, this isn't closing. We just started. We've started to elevate ourselves, especially this time of year. The wonderful Achdus, as the Rosh Hashiva mentioned, feel itself is Achdus. Let us continue and use this as a first step to go higher and to inspire ourselves. For
greater tefillah and for more achdus. And Be'ezus Hashem, we'll all be Zayka, Baltimore first, followed Be'ezus Hashem by the other communities. You have no idea what you accomplished, because Be'ezus Hashem, now Chicago with its 29 shuls, they'll be starting on a similar program. They say, Achron, Achron, Chavid. To me, it's Rishon, Rishon, Chavid. We should all be Zayicha to be Machadig ourselves further in Tefillah and Achdus. And together, we'll all go Mamash Bekorai to bring the Geula, the Yameinu, Amen.
They'll be Marim in 2 minutes.
Exactly.
Thank you.